Good morning, Audioboo. Today is Thursday, the 7th of February, 2013. And I want to talk to you about a milestone in my life. I hoped that this morning's recording might actually coincide with another, albeit maybe not quite so momentous a milestone, that being my 1,000th boo. I'm about 4 off it at the moment, and it would have been nice for the sake of symmetry if it had occurred at the same time. But alas, it hasn't, so there we go. However, the milestone that I want to talk to you about is one which actually I have talked about on Audioboo before. However, I've gained followers since then, I think it's worth talking about again. Remembering actually that milestone a little bit more. That milestone is 6 years ago. 6 years ago today, I became the first person in the world to have gene therapy on an eye. It was an operation carried out at Moorfields Eye Hospital in London by a team from the Institute of Ophthalmology at University College London. As I say, it was the first operation of its kind in the world. There have been a number of other trials since then in the US and I think more recently in China as well. US ones has been fairly high profile. However, the London team got there first. I was their first patient, and it gave me my 15 minutes, or rather probably 18 hours, of fame. It's rather a funny thing. The actual publicity of it didn't come immediately. The operation happened on the 7th of February, 6 years ago is, 2003. But it wasn't actually publicised until, I think it was the 1st of May, or 2nd of May possibly, of that year. And it was on the 1 o'clock news on the BBC, top story on the 1 o'clock news, top story on the 6 o'clock news, and then was in the remaining bulletins for that day. And it also made headlines around the world in different news channels, including in newspapers in various countries, including in pretty much all of the British newspapers. Including a wonderful photograph of me with an eye patch over the eye in question. I've never really talked much about the results of the exercise. Part of the reason for that is that I wanted to respect the protocol being followed for the clinical trial, that they had stages at which they would report, and it didn't seem appropriate for me to talk about my own experience preempting their reports. And I don't intend to say anything now that would impact on them too much. But I know it's something which a number of people have been interested in knowing what the result of it was over time. And it would seem that 6 years after the event, it's probably okay to talk about it. Before I do, though, I just thought that I would play the original news item, which can still be found on the BBC website today. So let's just see if I can actually get this to work now. I've got my my MacBook Air on my knee here in bed.
Video audio news. A doctor speaks about the guy nearing operation.
Link.
Let's go for it.
Press. A doctor speaks about the guy nearing operation.
Link.
Come on.
Video audio news. A doctor speaks about the guy nearing operation.
Link.
Come on.
Link.
Obviously, voiceover and old BBC videos don't get on so well. Let's see if I can do it.
You are currently on link.
Else.
Inside of HTML, contact with commander off. by color.
HTML content.
H surgery. 18 London apostrophe H surgery. H gene therapy first for foresight. A video audio news. A doctor speaks about the pioneering operation.
Link.
References. We're sorry, but you don't apostrophe appear to have any compatible media plugins, period.
Oh great, all right, I'll be back in a moment. Sounds like I've got a bit of downloading to do. Best laid plans and all that. I failed. I can't get it to play on my Mac. It seems that old BBC News content doesn't work for Mac. However, if you have RealPlayer, does anybody still have RealPlayer? If you have RealPlayer or Windows Media Player, then you will be able to play it. If you do a Google search for Robert Johnson Gene Therapy BBC, even if you just do Robert Johnson Gene Therapy, actually you should get it. So I thought I wouldn't be beaten back from this. I will play something else instead. And what I have here is already on Audioboo, but I'm playing it off Audioboo. But this is a news report from an Australian radio station into the gene therapy. Let's see if this works.
Doctors in London have made the world's first attempt to cure blindness using gene therapy.
You are currently on a button comma inside of an HTML.
Dr. Warfield's Eye Hospital at University College London has spent 15 years developing the technique using laboratory experiments and animal testing. Now they've tried it for the first time on a human. He's 23-year-old Robert Johnson, who suffered from a type of inherited night blindness since birth. If the operation turns out to have worked, gene therapy could be used to treat many types of blindness. Nicola Fell reports.
Robert Johnson has Leber's congenital amaurosis, which is a type of inherited degeneration of the retina. At the moment, he can see outlines during the day, but very little at night. And as he grows older, his sight will further deteriorate.
At the moment, I have enough sight to be able to work. Get about within reasonable safety during daylight. If I could hold some of my vision at that level, at this point that we're at now, it would at least safeguard that for the future, that I could continue to work, that I could continue to travel. I've considered the downside for as long as I've known about the operation, and I read things on the internet about gene therapy. I've tried to inform myself with it. I feel that the possible benefits, both for me and for other people in the future, outweigh the risks.
Mr. Johnson is the first of 12 young people to take part in this pioneering trial. Professor Robin Alley is leading the research team from University College London. He explains what they're trying to achieve.
We're seeking to develop a new treatment for a type of inherited retinal degeneration. Robert Johnson has one particular form. He has a defect in a gene called RPE65. And so Robert was born with very poor vision as a result of this gene defect. And what we want to do is to put the missing gene back into the retina to restore normal retinal function and thereby hopefully improve his vision and to prevent him becoming completely blind. This is the first time there's a trial for a very new sort of technology that we've been developing for over 15 years now to try and treat these forms of disorders. The operation involves a surgery to deliver genetically engineered viruses that are engineered to remove their own genes to make them harmless, and we replace those genes with the gene we want to deliver, the missing gene. And by delivering these particles to the back of the retina, we're able to infect the cells in the retina and replace the defective gene with the normal gene. And that is the process of gene therapy, if you like.
The idea of using gene therapy to fix diseases caused by genetic faults has long appealed to scientists. Here in Australia, Professor Elizabeth Rakutsi from the Lion Eyes Institute has been collaborating with the University College London team. She says that Mr. Johnson's operation is not without risk.
When there is something happening, the first in the world, then there are risks. The risks are twofold. One of them is derived from the procedure itself, the injection into the eye. The other risk is that we are injecting something into the eye which has never been used there before. Having said that, there has been extensive animal studies done by the London group, by us, and by our American colleagues in mice, dogs, and monkeys. And all of these preliminary data suggest that there won't be any complications following this intervention.
So how close are we in Australia to be using gene therapy to cure blindness?
Actually, we are very close. We have been used, you know, the same type of system in our dogs. And we found that we have been able to restore vision in the dogs. We hope that we will start our human trials this year.
If this operation proves a success, the implications could be great for those suffering from sight disorders. Dr. Robin Alley again.
It really is a milestone. It's paving the way for the application of this type of technology for the treatment of other inherited retinal conditions. And in the UK, for instance, there are around 20 to 30,000 people who suffer from inherited retinal degeneration. Now, in the much longer term, you might be able to use gene therapy to treat some of the more common forms of eye disease.
It will take a few months for Mr. Johnson's genes to start functioning properly, and so the success of this operation cannot yet be concluded. But as Surgeon Robert McLaren left the operating theatre, he said the signs so far are all positive.
Extremely well. We could never ask for better results. And to be honest with you, if I'd sat before the operation and drawn out what the perfect result would have been on a piece of paper, the retina would look pretty much like it does now. It's very good. It's gone very well.
Surgeon Robert McLaren ending that report.
So there we go. That was a report from, I think it was the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, from May 2003 into my gene therapy operation. They said there that it would take a little while longer for the genes to begin functioning properly. And I suppose that leads me in fairly neatly to talking about sort of what's happened after that time. Immediately following the operation, and 4 years following it, I carried on having a pretty thorough battery of tests and assessments and some of the most weird and wonderful eye tests that you could imagine, and various lights shone in my eyes and flashes going off, and having to sit in darkened rooms staring at screens where I couldn't see anything for long periods of time. In 2004, the team published a paper that basically set out their early conclusions after treating three subjects, including myself, on the efficacy and safety of the treatment. They decided that it was safe. I didn't have any negative reaction to it. The steroids that I was on to try and stop my body from fighting off the intrusion in the eye too much were pretty horrible, and the side effects from the steroids were pretty horrible. But there was no no adverse reaction to the actual treatment itself. In terms of efficacy, however, they didn't really notice any change by that point in my sight, and it was too early to tell whether the treatment would allow me to retain sight in that eye. I should say that they treated only a small portion of one of my eyes, treated the macula and the part of the eye, part of my left eye, which looks down, and they've continued testing it on an annual basis after the sort of more intensive period of checking was over. I haven't had my checkup for this year yet, but so my last one that I'm going on was last February or March, I think. The position is still really the same as it was when they published that first paper. My sight has changed, but my sight always does change between tests. The trend, however, is still slightly downward. The treatment didn't improve my sight. However, they still have, I think, some residual hope that it might enable me to retain some vision in that eye when the untreated areas of the eye and the other eye continue to deteriorate further. But there hasn't been sufficient deterioration in that time to really demonstrate that. And part of the problem here is that the deterioration in my eye, is at such an extent already that it's quite difficult to track changes in it. I already don't really pick things up on field tests. The eye chart is a bit of a rudimentary way of testing it, and it would take fairly significant change for me for my sight to alter on that. The electrodiagnostic tests they do already show very little, and so they would only likely show something if there was pretty significant improvement in my sight, we don't believe that there has been at all. However, I think it's quite important to stress, people naturally focus on the results in those terms. However, when I originally went down this road of being involved in the project, we talked about it only in terms of hanging on to my remaining sight, and not in terms of gaining additional sight. And also, more importantly, I was the first person for a reason. It was because my sight had deteriorated to a certain degree, and they wanted to effectively test the safety of this on somebody who, if it didn't have a dramatic effect on them, or even if it had a negative effect, it wouldn't be the end of the world. For them, anyway. So in terms of demonstrating the safety, it had a very positive effect. As I said, there weren't any complications. It allowed them to reduce the dose of steroids for future patients, it allowed them to go on and treat others, which is clearly a very positive outcome. It also tested a new procedure which had never been tried before on a human, which was deliberately detaching the retina. But basically, the operation involved them performing a vitrectomy, which is what they will do to people who have had a naturally occurring retinal detachment, where they basically remove the vitreous jelly from the eye, suck it out. Apparently that sounds pretty dramatic and pretty horrible. The people filming it were telling me. So they remove the vitreous jelly, and then they inject the vector that was talked about in that report. They inject the vector behind several layers of the retina, forming a bubble, and deliberately for a time detaching the retina from the back of the eye. And that procedure of actually deliberately detaching the retina and allowing it to reattach as it soaked up the liquid was the first time that that had ever been done before on a human. So there were a couple of firsts there. My feelings on it, looking back now, I'm really glad I took part in it. It was amazing to be the first person in the world to have something like that carried out. One doesn't often get the chance to be the first at anything. And so to have that, to have the bits of publicity that surrounded it, which I have to say I did quite enjoy, was really good. I liked the idea taking the first step, being the person involved in the first step, which would potentially allow greater numbers of people to go on to be treated in the future, I have very positive feelings about having taken part in it. The chances of ever being asked again to take part in something are, somewhere smaller than negligible. Were I ever to be asked to do something like that again, I'm not sure I necessarily would. I suppose I feel a bit more comfortable in my own skin now. I mean, that's not to say that I didn't then, I think whilst it was a positive thing to take part in, it introduced a lot of unknowns into my life, into, you know, whether my sight would improve, whether it would, whether I would hold on to the sight in that eye, unknowns that I didn't have before. Those who have degenerative eye conditions will know that there are already quite a lot of unknowns in life, and so it can be a little bit stressful adding those into the process. Whilst there weren't any complications, I still had to have a significant amount of time off work. It still meant having a fairly intrusive eye operation. And so I don't think I would look to have something similar in the future, were something like that offered. In terms of where this has gone now, the British team has, to my knowledge, only reported the once so far, that time after the first year. I won't talk about their unpublished results. One of the American teams taking part in this has reported fairly significant changes that they've noticed in their subjects' eyes. The changes on the grand scale of things are, I think, clinically interesting, but we're not talking about total restoration of sight. They're still visually impaired, just with better sight. Some of the more significant improvements have been in younger people, as was generally suspected. It's interesting that there have been that. The studies are continuing. They are looking into not just RPE65 LCA, which was one in my case, but they're looking at other strains of LCA now, other genes causing LCA, I should say, into some other conditions. And there are a number of different teams around the world now, including, I believe, a second one in the UK, which Robert McLaren, who you heard at the end of that report, is involved in. Which I think is in Cambridge. So there we go. I haven't talked much about this before, save for sort of highlighting the fact that the operation took place. If you search for RJNet gene therapy, you'll find my booze from last year on this. And likewise, if you Google Robert Johnson gene therapy, you'll pick up a few news articles from the time when all this happened. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer them. I won't comment on unpublished stuff for obvious reasons, but I'm happy to talk about my own experience of the operation and what followed. So I hope that's of some interest to some of you. Look forward to hearing from anybody who does have any questions.